37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Novastream.com.au and the Pop Cultures present In A Row, an eight-week spotlight on one of the kings of indie film, Kevin Smith. Starting from 1994's Clerks to 2014's Tusk, along with the glimpse into his future projects, I'm your host, I'm Ryan, along with Alistair.
Hi.
And Dylan.
Snoochie Boochie.
This week we take a look into the end of the Viewersk universe, essentially, with 2001's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and 2006's Clerks 2. All right, so first up, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's sort of what was originally designed to be the end of the Viewersk universe, to sort of bring in everything that's ever happened in his last four, five films, or to sort of be amalgamated in this bright, colourful, stupid film. The basic premise of this, of the idea is Jay and Silent Bob realise that there is a movie being made about them without their consent. The internet's being dicks to them, and they need to go shut the movie down to prevent people making fun of them, I guess. And it's essentially a road trip movie with a impressive cast of people. You know, apart from Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith himself, you've got the likes of Ben Affleck, Will Ferrell, Chris Rock, Jason Lee returning, the Shannon Elizabeth, Eliza Dushku, Matt Damon rocks up there too. There's a ton of big names in this. But straight out of the bat, Dylan, what did you think of this film?
Well. I see two sides to Kevin Smith's work. There's the introspective, intellectual, life relationships kind of movies, and then there's the dick and fart joke movies. So you've got Clerks, which is introspective. Mallrats was broader and more dick and fart. Chasing Amy was introspective. Dogwood was like the fine line between both. There's introspective, intelligent views on religion, but then there's also a shit monster. Jay and Silent Bob was dick and fart jokes times 100. So this was just flat out slapstick kind of thing. And I thought the Mallrats was the movie that the studio was like, make it funnier, make it stupider, and that's why he did it. But then Jay and Silent Bob is just all out zany crazy, and it's more of like a fan letter to everything he loves and his Viewersk universe, more than just like a movie per se. It's just like kind of like a wacky thing. So on that front, it's entertaining, but there's a lot of, like, dick and fart and all these stupid things that I'm like, yeah. But like you said, it's awesome that he got all these people back together. It's fun seeing the characters return, even if they're played by the same actors over and over. So you see Brody in there at his secret stash. And you see Holden come back, Ben Affleck. You see Ben Affleck play Ben Affleck. You see Matt Damon play Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, Hunting Season, Good Will Hunting 2. That was awesome. Don't look them directly in the eyes. But yeah, overall there were some really fun parts, but it was just kind of stupid. There were a lot of like weird segues, like the Scooby-Doo scene. And I think that was even before the Scooby-Doo movie came out.
It
might have been just after 2000, I can't remember. But yeah, like weird things. I like how they've got a lot of famous cameos in there, even ones that you wouldn't know, like Mark Hamill turns up and Carrie Fisher's in there. Even Paul Dini's in there for a second. There's all these awesome little things, but it was very of the time. Like, these are the big stars now, like Jason Biggs, James Van Der Beek, Shannon Elizabeth, and you kind of see where that went now.
It's pretty much anyone that's been in a Miramax film.
Yeah, exactly. So that was fun. It had its fun, but overall it was pretty stupid. And we're getting Will Ferrell coming hot off the heels of A Night at the Roxbury. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I guess he's looking back now and thinking, fuck, I had Will Ferrell in my movie. What was I doing? But yeah.
All right, excellent. What about you, Alistair?
I actually really loved it. I thought it was really funny. And yeah, it was very full of the shit, poo, dick jokes.
And fucks. So many
fucks. I think it was, I don't know. I actually remember seeing parts of this at a friend's house years ago. And she was like addicted to this movie. So when I was watching it, like in its entirety this time, I was like, oh, now I kind of get why she loved it so much. I was a big fan of the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon Bill Hunting 2. I loved it. It was really funny. But I actually did a lot of research on this movie. It just intrigued me. Because while it had a story, it didn't seem to have a strong story compared to the last week's movies, if that makes sense.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
So this kind of felt like what I fear Captain America 3 is going to be, just kind of putting everyone in the one movie because they're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Without any great reason to do so. And I didn't think that there's anything wrong with that. I liked it. It was funny. It was entertaining. I'm not a Jay and Silent Bob fan by any means. They actually kind of irritate me. But the other supporting characters and celebrities and cameos was enough to make me love it. And I think I spent a whole chunk of the movie going, I remember you. So, yeah. It was good.
Yeah. So, without a doubt, now, this is up there in my favorites of Kevin Smith. This is the first movie I ever saw. I saw it on VHS at my friend's place. I think I was like, 10. Somehow he managed to get it from the video shop. And at that time, I was young. This movie was bright, colorful, stupid. It referenced dicks a lot. And it's just full of swears. Like, my 10-year-old brain had a fit. I loved it. But I think it was a bit older than 10, but either way, I loved this film. I thought it was spectacular then, and then years later, I've come back, and a lot of the time, when I first saw it, I was too young to understand it, or I didn't know a lot of the references, but coming back after watching the rest of his movies, it's really interesting to sort of see that giant connection. Like, an example is when they go to Holden's house. And he opens the door and he's like, references, like, and he looks like someone shitting his cereal. I never had any context for that. And once you watch Chasing Amy, you're like, bam, that's a flat-out reference. It's really, really cool. Yeah, very self-referential movie. Like, it really feels like it's part of this greater universe. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was so stupid, so dumb, but I loved every second of it. I think it's a great film.
Did you like the Daredevil? Yeah?
I did. There's a random Daredevil, like, dodging from a, was when they're hauling ass through the back streets of the lot. Yeah. And so, just the little dumb things. It's just, and like that song at the start, like when you're like, to this day, I could still sing that song and thoroughly enjoy it, mostly because it's 80% swears. as you mentioned, all those cameos are massive. Like, then there's that guy whose name I've completely blanked out on, but, He was the voice of Batman in Brave and the Bold. He was in Drew Carey.
Diedrich Bader.
Loved him in this. He was so good. He's like, and when you're done, I have to say, oh, what a lovely tea party. Insane. Much love. But yeah, as I mentioned, so at the end of the credits, this ends with Alanis Morissette closing the book of the Viewersk universe. But if you pay close attention, you'll see the bookmark is there, but there's a little bit of paper left. And that little bit of paper left was moved over to take place of Clerks 2 when it came out in 2006. This takes place 11 years after the first film, and it follows, obviously follows the key characters of Dante and Randall as they move from a burnt down quick stop through until movies, another sort of throwback to old episode, to old films. And it's about them sort of in a day of their life, but at this restaurant. Straight off the bat, Alistair, you were pretty excited for this when you saw that Rosario Dawson was in it. How did you feel about it?
Loved it. I think probably my favorite moment was starting off in that black and white mini market from the first film, and then switching the color fast food restaurant down the road.
Yeah.
It was kind of, I don't know what that technique is called, but that was beautiful. I loved it. Loved it, loved it. But yeah, I'm a big Rosario Dawson fan. I think she's very underrated. Although with Daredevil, that could change. but yeah, I loved her in this. I didn't buy her as Becky. It was kind of a weird name. annoyed me a little bit. But she was good. I liked her, but I didn't like it compared to the first one, because the first one for me has just become that instant classic. So, some of the jokes threw me a bit. I had to go back and rewind a few bits. God, that makes me sad. There was, like, a fair amount of bestiality.
To put it lightly.
I was like, what? I don't know if I should be laughing. And I don't know if that was done deliberately to offend, or if it's just part of the characters. I don't know. I don't understand. I didn't get offended. I was just like, okay. So the characters, like, talk dirty to each other. And it kind of felt like that was, like, a plot device to move things along, rather than events happening, if that makes any kind of sense.
Well, no, it makes perfect sense, because it's all filmed in the concept of one day. Like, not many events can happen in the one day.
I've seen a few films filmed over one day that had a lot of events.
Die Hard!
1, 2, 3, 4. Shall we go on? But yeah, I did enjoy it. I think it was interesting to look at it from a different point of view. So a lot of cultural stuff came up for me in this movie.
In a good or bad way?
In a both way. I didn't find it culturally insensitive, but I found it a little bit confronting, might be the word I would use. And I did like it because I was laughing and then I was thinking, seriously, that donkey, I can't. Oh, really? hilarious. but I think this movie really showed me, and, like, I'm not a Kevin Smith fan. I am starting to become one now. But I think this really showed love for the characters. And even when they're mean and, you know, talking about bestiality, I still didn't hate them or find them unrelatable or dislike them.
All right.
If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. What about you, Dylan? What do you think of Clerks 2?
Yeah, it was a return to substance, but then it did still, of course, have a lot of dick fight, donkey, pussy stuff. I remember seeing this in cinemas, and everybody wanted to go see it. Like, oh, Clerks 2, it's going to be awesome. And I'm like, do you guys even know what Clerks is? Have you seen Clerks 1? Like, shut up, nerd. I don't want to hear about your fucking indie shit. I just want to watch Clerks 2. It looks funny. I'm like, all right, whatever. Yeah, so a lot of people going to see this movie, and I'm like, but why? I know who Jane, Silent Bob are, but you don't. Why you want to go? Yeah, just shut up. I just stop ruining the pun. So anyway, Clerks 2, yeah. Like Alistair said, I like the black and white homage at the start and the end. Kind of like Wizard of Oz, where the fire is coloured and then he takes the whole roller shutters up and it's all in colour. Randall seems plain mean at times in this movie to Elias, the religious kid. Like, there were times when I'm just like, he just seems like an asshole. Like, there's a really mean character to have as one of your main characters. But then as it played out, it was more just like misplaced anger towards Dante leaving, so it kind of made sense. But at first, I'm like, if somebody stopped this movie halfway for being mean-spirited, I'd completely understand. It was cool with the Transformers references before Transformers came out, and Kevin Smith could have said so much more about the last four movies.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty interesting. Imagine how bummed Elias is now.
That's right.
Isn't he doing Clerks 3, though?
He is doing Clerks 3. God, I hope they reference the Transformers.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And the Lord of the Rings scene, that was pretty funny. Walking. So that was cool. I mean, the whole donkey joke was like an entire subplot of the movie. It went on for way too long. The reactions of everybody was just too much. It went for like too long. Like, it was a good... That was the third act of the movie, and it was all that donkey stuff. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I get it. It's whatever.
Really funny, though.
It is really funny.
The idea, maybe, but then it drags out.
Maybe you've just got something
against donkey bestiality or interspecies erotica.
Okay, like, maybe.
Exactly, I agree completely.
He's got really misplaced ideas, I think.
Yeah. Your silence says so much.
It does.
It makes no sense at all.
No, I agree.
All right, do you have any more to say about that one, Dylan?
I do, actually. Wait, I'll just wait until he comes back.
What? What's funny?
You keep cutting out, man.
Oh, no.
You just come back and you're like, it's pretty funny, and then you cut out again.
Fucking hell.
The movie, it seems like with Kevin Smith movies, I always seem to be about 5 years behind what he's saying. And his movies, with Clerks and Clerks 2, it's kind of like a snapshot of his life at that age. And like Dante and Randall are kind of him talking through his characters. So what Randall was going through, Randall having Dante moving on or, you know, trying to do the thing that you're supposed to do in life, get married, have kids, that kind of thing. And Randall's kind of stuck in the past and wanting to have fun. I really sympathize with that. And I really get where Randall was coming from. And that I was Randall in that situation. So that was really good. And that was the heart of the movie. Other than the Rosario Dawson relationship, it was more the bond between Randall and Dante and that kind of element of life that I really enjoyed. The scene where Dante's driving at night to 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins, I love that scene. I've watched that scene on YouTube like every now and then just to get back in the zone, and it's such a beautiful scene and such a good song, and driving at night and contemplating his life, and when he pulls up to the lights, and at the same time Rosario Dawson's going to the women's clinic for you don't know what, and he stops at the lights and the little girl is in the restaurant and kind of just waves
to him. That's young Harley Quinn Smith.
Harley Quinn, that's right. So it's her second appearance because she was young Silent Bob in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back.
So sorry, contact, who's that?
That's his kid.
That's his daughter, yeah.
His daughter's name's Harley Quinn Smith.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It totally is.
No.
That's genuinely the story. The story is Jen, who plays... Jen is his wife. She is the one that plays...
Dante's
partner. So, Emma, that's his wife. And so she was in the bath reading a copy of Mad Love. And she's like, hey, man, if we ever have a... Like, I think she was pregnant at the time. She's like, can we name our daughter Harley Quinn? And I think he cried and said yes.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Big Batman fan, of course. That scene I love. And the fact that it's his daughter and the fact that Dante's thinking about that exact thing at that moment, parenthood or being a slacker, and then that nice little moment happens, I really loved that scene. Overall, it did drag in parts. Like, there wasn't much... There were, like, elements that you could see he came up with, like the relationship and the Randall and Dante stuff, and then he had enough ideas to keep it going, but not as many ideas that he had in Clerks 1, where each scene kind of had a running joke. It kind of lost it a little bit towards the middle. I appreciate this movie, and it being behind Kevin Smith by about 5 years, I'm looking forward to seeing what Clerks 3 has to kind of see a snapshot of that, the 40s part of his life, and see what that's like.
No. Now, see, for me, I genuinely love this movie. I love everything about The Clerks 2. It was the first movie I remember seeing it. I was at the video shop, and there was a poster on the wall for Clerks 2. And I was like, holy shit, I know those characters. That's Jay and Silent Bob. I've got to see this movie. And then I eventually ended up buying that poster from that video shop, and it's actually up on my wall still. I loved it then, and years later now, I still love it. It was something my friend and I really bonded over. To this day, we still make jokes about it, and we saw that movie, you know, shit, 7 years ago. Every year for our birthday, we send each other a picture of that guy fucking the donkey with, ooh, cake. What's the thoughts of going to this? I can't wait to watch Zack and Miri Make a Porno again. I actually love that film. Other two, not so much.
I've never seen Cop Out, so I'm looking forward to that. It looks
terrible.
I've never
even heard of Cop Out.
And I love his Bruce Willis stories, so we can talk about that next week. Zack and Miri Make a Porno, I haven't seen since I saw it in the cinemas, and it was all right, so I'm looking forward to revisiting that. And Jersey Girl, I think Jersey Girl is not too bad, but we can discuss that next week.
No. He nearly killed Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. He literally did kill Jennifer Lopez.
That's why I don't like him.
Ooh.
This was the start of her downfall. Anyway.
We'll get into that next week.
She's still Jenny from the block.
Because Bennifer was still a thing at that time, wasn't it?
It was. Because they did Jersey Girl and Jiggly. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was the
backpack. And they were both horrible.
Is it Giggly or Jiggly? Because Jiggly sounds like a whole different film.
I call it Jiggly because it's fun. But I think it's actually like...
Jiggly.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just fun to say Jiggly.
But if you want to hear us say Jiggly more, you can head over to novastream.com.au where you'll hear Alistair, Dylan, and myself on the DC Domination Show. It's a show all about DC Comics and the DC Universe. You've got Dylan as well. I think Alistair does appear sometimes on The Marvelous Show. It's all about Marvel. And as I said, Alistair's on pretty much everything at Novastream because he is popping over himself. And if you want to hear more of my voice, you can head over to The Pop Culturist, a show that talks at newsy things in the entertainment industry. You can listen to us all on iTunes. You can find us all on Facebook just by searching for the names I've just read. But, yeah, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.